Now, the Department of Health confirmed yesterday that a further 1,044 people will be recalled following a review of patient notes relating to the work of the consultant Dr. Michael Watt. More than 2,500 neurology patients were recalled earlier this year, and this new recall brings the total to over 3,500. The SLP deputy leader, Nicola Mallon, has been all over this story. Nicola, tell us what's going on here.
Well, Stephen, as you say, we're now at a situation where over 3,500 patients have either been recalled or are being recalled. And I think that underlines the seriousness of this situation. It is certainly unprecedented in the history of our health service. And yesterday, over 1,000 people will have received a letter asking them to make an appointment to get a review by Neurology Services. I would urge every single one of those people to make that call, to get an appointment and to get reassured around their diagnosis and their treatment. Some people, Stephen, will have had...
Why are they being recalled now?
Well, they're being recalled because the first phase, where there were 2,500 patients brought in, clinicians have clearly seen some patterns and learning from that. And so from that learning, they have been able to identify a group of patients who were formerly under the care of Michael Watt, and it seems that they were prescribed certain medications, and so now they're being invited back just to have a check to make sure that they were given the correct diagnosis and they were on the right care plan.
And do we know, Nicola, have you asked the question, and look, obviously we can ask the question, we should be asking, do we know how quickly these people will be seen?
Yes, there's a commitment that they will be seen within 4 months. I understand.
Within 4 months?
Yes.
So you get a letter to say, look, we need you to come back, and then you've got to wait up to 4 months. Is that acceptable?
Well, I have had issues with this, Stephen, because you will know that I began communicating with the Department of Health and the Belfast Trust a year ago on this, and for 6 months, discharge patients have been waiting to see how they've been affected by this, what will they do, and at last, yes, we have a pathway identified for a group of patients within that. One of the common concerns from the patients that I have been speaking to throughout this entire process is that they feel that there's a lack of information and communication coming from the department and the Belfast Trust. So a common way that they will describe it to me is that they feel that they are very much in the dark. We need to learn from that and we need to make changes so that this new group of patients aren't left in the dark, and also the many other patients who were under the care of this doctor who didn't receive a letter yesterday, that the department moves very quickly to reassure them.
And look, I understand that some of these questions may already be out there, and we'll contact the Belfast Trust as well to make sure that, you know, what we don't want doing today is unnecessarily alarming anyone. But I think some of these questions are fair. So of this new batch of people who are being recalled, the 1,044 new patients now being recalled, and it's for a review, so it doesn't necessarily mean that anything's wrong. But if you get a letter saying, look, we need to come back and check, that will concern some people, Nicola. That we can agree on, right?
100%.
If those people are having to wait up to 4 months, have they got the choice and can they go private? So in other words, can they shorten their anxiety time?
I honestly don't know. I just understand that the recall process is being managed by the Belfast Trust.
Well, why don't we put a question into the Belfast Trust now to ask that question?
But Stephen, I would caution that because if that is the case, we're going to have a two-tier system. So if you can afford to...
Yeah, but I want to know what the reality is. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I do want to know what the... You know, it's common sense, Nicola, that some people who will have to wait up to 4 months will want to know before 4 months that they've got, you know, the all clear.
Of course, and it's important that they get reassurance as quickly as possible. And remember as well that, you know, the doctor at the heart of this has been practicing for a very long time. And with that and with the shortage of neurology consultants, he had a huge patient caseload, some 4,000 patients. And the Trust and the Department are trying to work through that.
I get that.
And I want to pay tribute to the neurology staff, Stephen, because they are working tirelessly. But Neurology Services was already stretched to breaking point before all of this. That wasn't a secret. That was well known. And we need to ensure that we're sustainably supporting neurology staff to deal with this increased patient caseload, but also to fairly treat and to quickly treat all of our neurology patients, because they're having to wait unacceptable times for first appointments, for review appointments, and your show has covered that before.
Let's speak to Derek McCambly. Derek, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
You were part of the earlier recall.
I was, that's right.
How long did you have to wait, Derek?
Well, the story broke in early May. It was actually the day I was going on holiday. So from then, I was seen the early part of July. So it took me, about 6 weeks to get seen, which...
And is the waiting okay, or what does the waiting do to you?
Obviously, there's a degree of anxiety, a degree of concern, and I suppose a sense of bewilderment as to how this could have happened in the first place. My main concern, I suppose, was about my medication. Was I on the most appropriate medication for my type of MS? And if not, what the implications of that were? So luckily, when I was seen, my diagnosis was confirmed. My treatment care plan was largely endorsed. So that was a massive relief. And, again, I would reiterate what Nicola has said, pay a huge tribute to the small group of consultants who worked tirelessly. I was seen on a Sunday morning. There were clinics virtually, not quite 24/7, but the dedication of that cohort of specialist consultants has to be publicly acknowledged, I think.
Absolutely, and it's right to praise the consultants when you feel that that's the appropriate thing to do, Derek. Are you the same as Nicola? Are you wondering, well, you are, you've just said it, how this would happen in the first place? And you can no doubt put yourself in the shoes then of this new group of people who are being recalled.
Very, very much so. I mean, I can empathise entirely. There's going to be... Well, some people have had letters tomorrow, yesterday. Some people will be getting them this morning. There's going to be a whole gamut of emotions that they're going to be through. I would reiterate what Nicola has said. Please contact the helpline as quickly as possible. Get your appointments sorted. And, I mean, I think there has been learning from the first phase. The department and the Belfast Trust has put in more effort this time to provide emotional and psychological support in the meantime to help people to enable them to ask some of the questions that they need to ask in the short term before they're seen. And then obviously I'm a volunteer with the MS Society. We have noticed a huge upturn in the numbers of people contacting us as well.
Derek, thank you. Stephen in Belfast. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Thanks for calling us. Go ahead.
No problem. Stephen, maybe some 22-year-old autistic, he was called. We called to the Dr. Watt thing. And it was hard for us, if you understand, but we couldn't explain to him. And he didn't understand, why am I going to the hospital? And, Daddy, what's going on? I said, there's nothing going on. We're just going in front of this doctor. Next thing, we hadn't a clue that he had been in front of that doctor until we got that call. It was actually a call. It wasn't even a letter. It was a call, a telephone call to come into the hospital. And for us, it was a bit of a nightmare because we didn't know what to go or, you know, we didn't know what way to turn with it, but thankfully the wheel he went and he got the all clear, you know. So,
Stephen, thank you. And John in Belfast, morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead, John.
Is Nicola still there?
She's just gone. We can get her back. We'll get her back. Go ahead.
I was actually just ringing up. My daughter, my oldest daughter, was one of the very first patients to be recalled. So she was. 15 years, she was a patient of Dr. Watt, but I'm not here to talk about my oldest daughter. I'm actually here to praise Nicola Mallon. So I am, because she has been absolutely magnificent, and I can't say a bad word about her. A whole lot of people run MLAs down. She has taken time out. I can't tell you she's been ringing me, my wife, my daughter, on a constant basis. Any trouble we have, any problems, we have rung her up. And there's been, she's unbelievable. I have to tell you, she's been unbelievable.
So if I come, she's on the line, by the way. If I come full circle then, how do you feel about her getting a pay cut tomorrow? And should it be a pay cut for all MLAs?
I don't. I'm one of these people at the very start would say MLAs don't deserve the money that they're getting. But when it hits home and you need somebody to help you. And you see people like that doing her job. And it's not just me or my family. I know for a fact she's helping other families. And she's going out of her way at nights and everything else to talk to you, to reassure you and everything else. There is good ones out there. I have to change my mindset now and say yes. I says there's people like that. She should.
Well, Nicola's on the line. Would you like to speak to her?
Certainly, put her on.
She's there.
Hello, Nicola.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really good, and I really want to thank you. That means a lot. You phoning in and saying that, it really does. So thank you very much.
Well, Nicola, my daughter, I think you know her. I think you know her, but I don't want to mention her name. She's one of the very first.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yeah, and you've been talking to my wife on numerous occasions. And helping her out because she's been stressed out to a high job along with my oldest daughter. I just think without you, you're giving us our help and support, we'd have been absolutely lost. And I just like to thank you from my family for all that you've done for us. So I know sometimes you don't get it on the radio, you get bad press, but I just like to thank you. So what?
Well, that doesn't happen too often in the Nolan Show, Nicola.
No, it doesn't, and I'm pretty speechless because, you know, Stephen, there are MLAs across all parties that do work really hard and they really care about people, and on a human level it sometimes gets you really down and you're frustrated by the political situation, but you're also hearing all the time that you're all a waste of space and you don't care because, as I said, there are some across all parties that do. So I just want to say thank you very much to that gentleman for saying that, and it's been basically like giving me £1 million this morning, so thank you.
Nicola, thanks for coming back on. John, thank you. Derek McCambly, we've heard from. David Galloway from the MS Society. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
A lot of the people being recalled were previously Multiple Sclerosis Society members. How have they received this news?
Well, Stephen, I think as Derek expressed there, you know, the recall process itself has caused a lot of anxiety and concern. For everyone caught up in it. And of course, people with MS are part of that cohort of patients. And I think there are issues, as Nicola's raised there, about the information that's coming through for individuals from the Belfast Trust at times, just to be clear about what the process is going to be, when they're going to be seen, what the outcome of that will be.
And is it true, David, that some of the people who have come forward in the first batch have had life-changing re-diagnosis?
It is true. That is true, Stephen. We have heard from a number of people whose diagnosis has been altered as a result of their review. And so we've got people who had received a diagnosis of MS who have now been told that that's not what their condition is. And we've got people who are in the other situation where they had a different diagnosis and now have been diagnosed with MS. And why that's really crucial for these people is that if you're diagnosed with MS, it tells you a lot about, you know, what your likely prognosis might be, how you think your condition might progress in the future, and of course what treatment's going to be required. And some of these treatments are quite onerous in terms of the impact on the patient and on your day-to-day life. So people will have lived with that for a number of years and now are being told that actually, no, that wasn't right, that your treatment should have been different. And that's having a huge impact on those individuals.
So you're telling me people diagnosed with MS who never had it?
That has we have heard of that happening. I don't have any figures or numbers around that, but
do you know what's happened?
We know that's happened.
Well, that's just incredible. That's just we can all identify with that. And what would it mean if you were then taking medication for MS when you never had it in the first place?
Well, I can't say in terms of the impact on an individual, other than I think we need to realise these medications are often very toxic and have quite an impact on people just as they receive them and how it impacts on their ability to function on a day-to-day basis time to time. So quite a significant impact, and some people may have made, you know, life decisions about perhaps having a family or not having a family, or staying in work or not staying in work, based around the diagnosis that they'd had and the treatment pathway that they were on. So,
see, I never thought about all of this. My goodness, now it's hitting home to me the impact of some of this.
Yeah, so it is, you know, this is, as Nicola said, it's one of the probably most serious
experiences
in the health service in Northern Ireland.
There's going to be lawsuits around that, you would suspect, as well. But, look, who knows? Thank you very much indeed, David. Thank you.